let's see where we'll start. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" So a little leaven, you know, the Lord told the disciples, beware the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And that leaven was false doctrine that he was had in view there. That is the focus. And we read in Matthew 16, verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And we drop down to verse 12. He says, "Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So, the Bible teaches us that in the world you will have tribulation. And this tribulation is the false gospels ultimately around us. The nature of the great tribulation is false Christs and false prophets. And we'll look at some of those verses. But nevertheless, already the spirit of iniquity doeth already work, the Bible tells us, that Antichrist is already here and already in the world. And we see the assault even on the early New Testament churches. And these false gospels are foundational errors. One of the things we do discover about those who are bringing in false gospels, if you listen very carefully, and whenever you see these people, it is always the same old thing. They have nothing else to share, but everything must be founded on a position or an idea that they have. And they never go to another subject matter, and they never get off of it. And so it becomes a foundational error. And that foundational error will corrupt the entire tree, will corrupt the entire building. When the word of God is read in light of these foundational errors, we see the strange conclusions that start to emerge, and conclusions that are not harmonious with the rest of the Bible. So, these doctrines, some of these doctrines, just to share a few, and this is only a few, this is only a tip of the iceberg, they're a gospel that deny that Jesus is God. And people will build everything around that. You know, one of the biggest problems is gospels that deny grace. And again, if you deny Jesus as God, then you have a totally new, you have a foundational error so that is so great you cannot possibly come to the truth. You might have pieces of the truth that were delivered before the heresy came in that still remain part of the structure, but that's a lost city. That's a lost family. Gospels that deny that Jesus is God. You're preaching a whole new gospel now. You're not preaching Christ crucified, because only God can be forsaken by God and come out the other end of eternity of hell. And you know, we have these gospels that deny grace. I mean, how can you go out and preach a gospel if you don't understand grace? Because why? Because you'll be trying to convince people into the kingdom of heaven. And no man is saved by convincing them by an intellectual exercise of a decision. No man is saved that way. And so when we understand grace, we then realize that we're to preach the gospel to every creature, indiscriminately. Just bring out the word of God and let God worry about whose ears he's going to open. And as he puts the people before us and we become involved in some emotional way or whatever with these individuals, we then start to cry out on their behalf to the Lord. Lord, have mercy on this sinner too, a sinner just like myself. Could it be that this person too might be one of your elect and that you might be merciful unto him? So instead of trying to cry out and convince the individual, we cry out to God and employ God that he might be merciful unto this individual. And that's the way the gospel goes forward. So these gospels, and again, we're only going to touch the surface of some of these gospels that deny Jesus as God. Gospel that denies the Bible's infallibility. How can you have the Word of God have anything if you don't know that the Word of God is the Word of God? Gospels that deny the Trinity. Gospels that deny hell. Gospels that deny the destruction of this sin-cursed earth. Gospels that require a seventh-day worship when the Bible clearly has changed it onto a first day. gospels that require a work of some kind in order to become saved, that you must repent, or you must accept, or you must do something. All those are the reflection of your salvation, not the work in order the work that is done in order for salvation to be achieved. So gospels that require water baptism or some other kind of an action to be saved. Gospels that claim once saved we can sin no more in the flesh. Gospels that claim that all men will be saved. Gospels that claim only that they have a corner on the truth. Gospels that claim only that they have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Gospels that claim signs and wonders and miracles and visions and get involved with this calling down fire from heaven, this strickening in the Spirit where people fall backwards. I don't want to fall backwards because that's a sure sign of judgment upon you from God. The Bible has nothing good to say about anybody who falls backwards. Eli fell backwards and broke his neck, the Bible tells us. The Roman soldiers fell backwards. That's a judgment from God. And these people think it's a blessing that they're being stricken in the Spirit, that they're being born again or something. I don't know what they think, but they think some strange things outside of the Bible. So these Gospels that light upon another man and his teachings instead of Christ. One of the things we had with an individual that came into this room that had some disagreement with us, one of the first things that came out of that person's mouth was a focus in on himself and his studies and his accomplishments and his what he's going to do so that others might know about these things. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I want to lift up the person of Jesus Christ. I want to lead you to the Bible. The Bible's already been written. Why do we need to lead men to any place else? Let's lead them to Christ. Let's lead them to the Bible, the Word of God. And that's how we lead people to Christ. We lead them to the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is God. Jesus Christ is the Word. We have a relationship with the Father through the Son. There is no other way. No man cometh unto the Father unless he comes through me, the Lord said. I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. He is the door, he said. So you have to go through Christ. So people come in the name of Christ, but they don't want the bread of his bread. They don't want his bread, and they don't want his apparel, his covering. They don't want his food. They have their own bread. They have their own covering. All they want is his name, so that it would remove their reproach, and they can go out and preach their gospel and deceive the masses. And so they have been. They come with another bread, and that bread is not the bread of life, the Word of God, Christ himself. And that covering is another covering. It's a congregational covering. It's a denominational covering. It's a church covering. It's all kinds of coverings. It's the covering by a mind of a man, but not the covering of Christ. We have to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's our covering. It is Christ who covers us. So these Gospels that light upon other men and their teachings instead of Christ, Gospels that have other sources of information other than the Bible, Gospels who add to the Bible, Gospels who take away from the Bible, Gospels that have private interpretation. The Bible is not open for a private interpretation. The Bible is open only for God, the Holy Spirit, to interpret the Bible. We're to look at the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. We read in Matthew 24, verse 3, and as the Lord sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the ends of the world? Now God was just speaking about, in this place there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be cast down. And now the disciples ask a number of questions. The question is, when shall these things be? Question number one. Question number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And question number three, and the end of the world. There are two things. When is the Lord coming, and when is the world ending, and when shall all these things be? He responds, and Jesus answers and said unto them, take heed. This is the first thing he says. Listen to what the Lord says, the very first thing that the Lord says. He says, take heed. Take heed. That no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. The question you want to ask yourself when you're listening to someone saying, thus saith the Lord, and you're considering what they're saying, the question you want to ask is, where is this person leading me? Is this person leading me into their own private chambers? Is this person leading me into the desert places? Is this person leading me into the mind of a man? Or is he leading me to the Word of God? That's the question you have to ask. And you want to slam the door as you leave if they're leading you any other place but into God's Word, the Bible. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Many people will be coming in the name of Christ saying they're a Christian. I've got the truth. Thus saith the Lord. They'll say they're pastors and teachers. They'll say that they're elders of a church. They say that they've written a book. They say that they understand things. That, take heed. Many shall come calling themselves Christian, saying, I am of Christ, and shall deceive many. They'll claim to have the Holy Spirit. This is the warning of the great tribulation. But the Bible tells us that in the world you will have tribulation. So throughout the whole New Testament era, we have had tribulation. We see this in the person of Paul, and Paul gives us the example as we read all of the things that fell upon Paul in his lifetime. And he is an example, a picture of the body of Christ, stoned and left for dead, cast out of the city, found in the deep. I mean, it just goes on and on. In perils in my own country, in perils in the wilderness, in perils everywhere, in the sea, finds himself shipwrecked, constantly cast out, stoned and killed and beaten and shut down. And such is the body of Christ throughout the church age. But God has kept the gospel light going in the corporate churches. Even though they have divided Christ, he continued the light of the gospel to go forward, and he said, I will build my church, and the gates of that hell will not prevail against me. And so therefore, the corporate body has become a footstool for God. It has become a place of rest, a place where the body of Christ has been fed and nourished for a times, and a dividing of times. In other words, the whole New Testament era, until the end of the church age comes. And so God has fed us and nourished us in the Word of God. Meanwhile, he has warned us. He has not kept us ignorant to these things. The body of Christ, we know the enemy when they raise their ugly head. We see as they emerge with false doctrines and false Christ and false gospels. We see it. We know. Starting to bring in damnable heresies and to preach that which the Lord has not said. We see it. And God has given control to the body of Christ and many of the corporate bodies throughout the church age, and has warned us and given us the warning. He would not have us to be ignorant. He told us that they would come in sheep's clothing. He said they'd be there with a Bible in their hand. They'd be saying, thus saith the Lord, you better be like a Berean, and you better be searching your scriptures to see if these things are so. He tells us to be diligent and to be ready. And so, and the body of Christ has responded because he has made us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It has been our desire to do that. And so there therefore we have been ready for these things throughout the church age. He tells us, I think it's in Galatians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The high places is the pulpit. That's the high place. It's where the gospel is being declared. That's where we wrestle against the devil. He's already got the people out in the world, the people who haven't come into the church and come under the hearing. He's already got them. They're his. He owns them, body and soul. It's in the churches is where the great battle takes place. And God has restrained the devil. He has bound him in a bottomless pit and put a seal upon him and bound him for 1,000 years. And we know at the end of the world, and indeed we are at the end of the world, that he will be loosed for a season. And God warns us, and he tells us, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. We drop down into verse 11 out of Matthew 24, verse 11, and many false apostles shall arise, and prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. iniquity shall arrive. Why does God use the word waxing cold? Because he identifies the going forth of the gospel as a candlestick. And that candlestick, that word candlestick actually is not the candle itself. That's not the wax on the wick and the light on it. That's not the candlestick. The candlestick is the chandelier. The candlestick is the candle holder, the candlestick holder. That's what that word is in the Greek. And each church that has the name of Christ, that was a true church of God from the beginning, had a candlestick holder. And in that candlestick holder, God has placed the candle and the light of that candle. And when a candle, when we see the language of something waxing cold, that means that that candle is no longer burning, that that wax is no longer hot. It is waxed cold. The light of the candle has gone out. And that's the picture that God has in view here. Because iniquity shall abound, the evil, the working of iniquity shall abound. The love of many, and what love has God got in view? The love of many, that love focusing in on the preaching of the gospel, the edifying of the body in love, which takes place in the corporate churches throughout the church age to build up, to edify the body of Christ so the gospel would go forward. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, is it Ephesians or Galatians where we read about the armor of God? Maybe someone could find that and throw that out there. But the end result is to be found standing, having the armor of God and coming to the end of the world, and to be found standing wearing the armor of God. And that picture is to be declaring the true word of God. Even though there is destruction all around us, we continue to be declaring the truth, and not the lie, and not the fable. The Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partners with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the children of light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. So God has told us not to be partners with them. When they come with the lie, we have to stand in God's word. We have to tell them the truth. We have to bring correction. You know, sometimes in this room it's very difficult to do that because we want to be nice to people and and we want to give people opportunity and we don't want to be rude to them and so on and so forth. But then they get a hold of the mic and before you know it, we see them swelling up and drawing men after themselves. And we have to take in some authority here because we have the authority in this room. It's not a spiritual authority, but it's an authority to bring the focus back to the Bible and not to that individual. And so we have to reprove them and correct them. And sometimes, occasionally, they do accept the correction. It's rare, but it does happen here. But more often than not, unfortunately, they get angry. They get more swollen up. They get a fire put upon their head. And sometimes they'll murmur and slam the door as they leave the room. And we'll pray for them. There are a lot of people in here that are praying for those people. Because that's what God told us to do, pray for those who despitefully use us, who say all manner of evil against us for his name's sake. And so we want to be obedient to God, and we want to be praying for these people. We want to be hoping for the good for them. And that's why we don't want to ban those people. We're very careful with who we ban. Usually it's people who are foul. But in any event, we pray for wisdom on them. So we don't want to be partners with them. We want to correct them. We want to bring God's word to them. We want the best for them. We read in 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So what doctrine do they have? Do we recognize the voice of our Father behind the speaker of those who are saying, "Thus saith the Lord"? Do they have the mind of Christ? Are we one with the same mind? Do they have the doctrine that Christ has brought unto thee? If there come any unto you that bring not the doctrine, this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither give him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partners of his evil deeds. So we cannot allow it to go uncorrected. We have to, and you know, people will say, "Well, those guys think this, that, or the other thing." Well, they can say what they want. We got the Word of God, and people will judge for themselves. All the Bereans out there will be searching the Scriptures, judging what things are so or not. And that's all we want. You know, that's all we desire. We desire that God will send lots of Bereans. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, accounting that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So sit at the feet of Jesus. Open up your Bible. Listen carefully to what people are saying. Follow it through the Scriptures, line upon line. Make notes of the verses that they bring and proclaim. And ask the Lord to lead you and to guide you and to open your eyes and to see. And see once, where are they leading you? Keep asking yourself, where is this person taking me? Is he taking me to the Bible? Or is he taking me into a denominational thinking? Is he taking me into the thinking of a man, into the minds of men, or into the mind of God? Which is it? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So, we got to be careful. We got to continue to go to the Bible. We don't want to receive another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel. We read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, "I marvel that you were so soon removed," and this is back in the day of Paul. This is Paul who wrote this. "I marvel," to the Galatians, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have not have preached unto, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, this is where the gospel comes from. It comes from God. The Lord tells us in Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So the Lord has given us knowledge and has given us ways to know who is the false gospel. The question is, are you diligently looking into your word? Are you diligently checking out? You know, I used to visit a lot of rooms here on Pal Talk. I haven't done it in quite some time, and I have no desire to do it anymore. It is too depressing. I get filled with great vexation when I walk into a room and listen to the things that they say. And when you talk to these people, I want to tell you a common statement I hear all the time when I start talking to these people. Here they are with a Christian name. They have the name of Christ. They have they're offering a covering. They're offering Christ. It's actually another covering, because it definitely is not Christ. They're giving bread to the needy, but it's not the bread of life. It's not the bread of the Bible. Because the first thing I do when I start talking to these people is bring up Scripture and ask them about the Bible. And a common response, a very common response, here they are on their computer preaching the Word of God to people coming into their room, and they say, well, I don't have my Bible with me at the moment. I don't remember where that verse was, but I know what the Bible says this. That is common. Woe is us if we bring another Jesus. Woe is us if we bring another gospel. Woe is us if we say, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it. Don't they know that the core of hell was created for them? You know, I just shake at this kind of a thought, that people are saying, thus saith the Lord. And they haphazardly just go out there and say things, and God has not said it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. As a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we know them by their fruits. The Lord goes on to tell us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Where is all this going on? This is going on in the churches. These people are claiming to be prophesying. They're claiming to be casting out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You got to ask yourself the question, is that the last words you want to hear before you're cast into the flame of eternal fire? Is it, depart from me, you workers of iniquity? Or do you want to hear, come? Come in, come. Depart or come? That's the question. Today is still the day of salvation for anyone that might be here that is not saved and doesn't know the Lord, and doesn't have a bent knee to God's Word, and maybe their ears are being opened by the Holy Spirit as the Bible is being put forth, the Word of God. We compare these type of things to Mark chapter 4, verse 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as that hear the Word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, and of the lust of other things enter in, and choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. Are we going to go back among the thorns so that we will be deceived and choked? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Yeah, they've got the pearls. They quote the Scripture. But is it surrounded with thorns and thistles? Is it surrounded with the words and the ideas of men? Is it a private interpretation? Are they leading you to become a good Baptist, a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or whatever word you want to put in there? Is that where they're leading you? Or are they leading you to become a disciple of the Lord? Are they nursing you with the true milk of the Word? That's the question you have to ask. We know that they put a crown of thorn on our Lord's head. And we're warned against in Hebrews 6 and 8, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto curse, and whose end is to be burnt. If you continue with the thorns and the thistles, your end will be to be burnt. You will be burnt in the fire. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That's the mutilators. It's used only once in the Bible. The word concision is the mutilators, to mutilate something. Beware of the mutilators, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Don't rest in the fleshly things. Rest in the spiritual things, the things above. Rest in God's Word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So it is in Christ that we find Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God makes it clear with the word bodily. It is bodily found in him. Spiritual body, bodily found in him. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits and after the traditions of men. So many false prophets will arise, especially at the end, but they have come to us throughout the whole church age. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. You know, the Bible doesn't cease to from warning us of these things. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're carrying a Bible. They are coming in sheep's clothing. They are saying, thus saith the Lord, and they're standing in the high place on the pulpit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the pulpit. That's where the gospel is being heard and preached from. That's where the wickedness is found. Be a Berean. Open your Bible. Where are they leading you? Are they leading you to the depths of hell? Or are they leading you to Christ? Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. The armor of God is the Word of God, that you may be able to do withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We are in that evil day. Are you standing? Are you standing on the gospel? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Do you have the truth of the Word of God, and having your breastplates of righteousness? Christ is our breastplate. He is our righteousness. Do you have Christ as your righteousness, and your feet trod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, standing on the word? Above all, taking the shield of faith. Christ is our faith. He is our shield and buckler. It is the word wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet, that is the knowledge of your salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Every part of the armor of God identifies with the gospel, with the Bible, with the precious pearls, with the Word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Where are you standing? Are you standing on the gospel? What sword are you holding? Are you holding the Word of God? Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who come in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That is the desire, that is the focus of Satan. And they come in privately. They come in unaware. We're unaware of them until all of a sudden they reveal who they are. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times in over the years, standing with other individuals, preaching the gospel, talking about the word of God, and all of a sudden I see the wicked being revealed. All of a sudden you realize they're bringing another gospel. They've been silent in certain areas. And it gets to the point where they can't take no more. And they can't hear these things. And then they reveal themselves. False brethren, unaware, brought in, who come in privately to spy out our liberty. They've heard the call. Something going on here. They see the power of the word. That's why the harlot is dressed in fine clothes. She's dressed in the colors of royalty. She appears to be the queen. She's drawing many with a bent knee before her. She's adorned with precious stones and pearls. They see the precious stones and desire the pearls as the queen passes by. And they bend the knee to the queen, the harlot. That's the picture that God gives us in Revelation chapter 17. And reveals who she is in Revelation chapter 18. It is the corporate church. She claims to be the queen. She leads people to herself. She claims to be the pillar and the ground of truth. She says, apart from me, there is no salvation. You leave me, you're unsaved. There is no salvation. That's how she holds them into bondage. People are feared to say anything ultimately, but the body of Christ has come out of her. False brethren, unawares, brought in, who come in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No! For not for an hour. We never gave them place by subjection. Let me read that again. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We have corrected them. We have denied the truth that they claim to be truth, that is a lie. And they rejected that. They have silenced us. They have killed us. We are killed all the day long, the Bible tells us. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat, in confidence added nothing. In conference added nothing to me. And that is the key. And that is where I have seen the people revealed who claim to be something and are nothing. They come in their own name. And when you get private conference with them, when you listen to what they have to say, all of a sudden they reveal who they are. Because they can't hide their speech. They can't hide their speech. It's revealed immediately. Open their mouth and we know who they are. Because we know the voice of our Father and we don't run after another. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the floods upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they have counted it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone away, followed the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophets. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantingness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it has been better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness, that righteousness. These are the people in the church. These are the ones we called brothers. It is better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness, that the gospel hadn't been preached unto them, after that they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read in verse 1, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by a gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come an apostasy first. That day shall not come, except there come an apostasy first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Judas is the son of perdition. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Judas is the son of perdition. He represents the unsaved in the church that have rejected the truth and prefer the lie. the son of perdition, the wicked being revealed. Who opposeth. Let me go back and reread this. I want to reread this again. This is important that people hear these words, and you better meditate on these words, because we're in the day of evil. We're in the day of darkness. We're in a time when the light is being called darkness, and the sweetness of the gospel is being called bitterness. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come the apostasia first. Not a half apostasia. That's not mostly an apostasia. That's not a partial apostasia. That's not 99.99% apostasia. The word apostasia means a complete turning around from the truth, a falling away from the truth. There is nothing there that resembles the truth no more. It doesn't exist. Unless there come the apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Satan dwells in the hearts of men, in the hearts of unsaved men. He moves about them, and all of his demons, these unholy spirits. And it is man believing in his own mind, and it is Satan working in the minds of unsaved men, making them to will and to do of his evil pleasure. So that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And the wicked has been revealed. We have seen who the goats are, and we see who the sheep are. We see who bends the knee and who doesn't. We see that God has separated the wheat from the tares. We see the tares burning as we have been taken into the bonds of God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with ye, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. So he's been working in the days that Paul spoke these things. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, which with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. They don't receive the word of God. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they will be damned, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God has warned us. He has told us the nature of the great tribulation is false Christ and false prophets that would lead astray even the very elect if it were possible. That's rhetorical. It's not possible, because we hear the voice of the Father. And if you're not hearing the voice of the Father, trust me, if you're in a church, you're being led astray. Mark 13, verse 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Endure in what? Endure in his word, still standing on the gospel, the truth, and denying the lie. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, then let him that readeth understandeth, then let them that be in Christ flee into the mountains. But them who are in Judea, to be in Judea in this particular picture here is a picture of being in Christ. Let them who are in Christ flee to the mountains, flee to God, rest in God, stand in the Word. and the mountains are being removed. Great earthquakes. In John chapter 16, we read in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." So they think that they're doing God's service by casting us out, by denying the truth, by rejecting the word. We read in Psalms 44 verse 22, "Yea, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." We're silenced. That's to be killed, is to be silenced, prevented from bringing the gospel. The body of Christ has been prevented for the longest time now, not being able to bring the gospel into the churches. They have denied it. They have rejected it. Romans 8 verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, we read, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves," or after them. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, day and night and day with tears." Beware of the grievous wolves. They come in speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Think about what some people say when they're contrary to the things that this room teaches, and how they try to draw people after their own minds and require and try to tell us that we must believe, we must follow them. Throw away your Bible, follow me. Ephesians chapter 5, 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart, in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." This idea of making melody in the heart, in your hearts, to the Lord, there's a great joy, and our focus is on the Lord. And I want to just share a quick principle here. There are a lot of people out there that bring rock and roll and a Christian rock and different things. And I want to tell you, you get hung up in that, you go listen to that music and listen very carefully and become involved. And midstream, ask yourself, what are you glorying in? Are you glorifying God? Are you really lifting up Jesus? Or is the focus of that music to you to make you feel good? Is the focus on you or is in Christ? That's the test. That's the test you ask. And you will find great vexation when you find the answer to that question. A lot of music that we listen to, it's a feel-good thing. It's not a God-praising thing. Let's lift up the voice to God. And God tells us through psalms and spiritual songs. It's the words of the Bible. It is the hymns and the songs and the psalms. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or word is tilius, let us as many of us as be tilius, be thus minded. Unless we're tilius, we cannot be thus minded. We've looked at this word tilius. This word tilius identifies with Christ himself. Only he is tilius. Christ is tilius. When that which is tilius has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. That tilius identifies with the word of God. Let us therefore as many as be tilius, and the Bible tells us, be ye perfect, be ye tilius, even as the Father is tilius. Okay? So, how can we perfect as the Father is perfect? Well, the Father is Spirit. And if Christ dwells in our heart, and the Word dwells richly in us, and we are part of the body of Christ, let us therefore as many as be tilius, part of the body of Christ, with Christ within us. It is Christ that is tilius. Be thus minded. The mindedness focuses in on the Word of God. To have the mind of God, to have the mind of Christ, and not the minds of men. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in the heavens, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of us that have left the churches understand that we too look back and we are weeping and realize that they are the enemy of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and their mind is in earthly things. The wicked has been revealed, and these are the things we see, and we weep for them. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have to test it in the scripture. When someone says, thus saith the Lord, we're to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Woe unto you. It's another verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So how do we prove all things? We go back to the Bible. We be a Berean. We search the scriptures. We talk to the Lord. We pray for wisdom, and we wait on the Lord to lead us. Let's see if we have any others. we know that scriptures is what we rest in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We read in verse 4, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Prove it, make it right, make it sure-footed. Search the scriptures, preach the gospel, and not the words of men. you don't hear these verses in the Bible. We've looked at a lot of verses today. You don't hear these in the Bible. You don't hear these coming across the pulpit. You don't hear these things being studied in Bible classes. You just don't hear them. Let's see if we have anything else before we close off. We're coming to an end here. Psalms 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of men, in whom there is no help. Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. All right, if anybody has anything to add or any questions or comments or verses to share concerning these things, feel free to pick up the mic or raise your hand if someone's on it.